Obama and Boehner duke out the debt ceiling differences over the television airwaves.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Jeremy Hobson. In a primetime speech last night, President Barack Obama brought the debt ceiling debate into our living rooms, saying some Republican lawmakers are being unreasonable and asking viewers to write their congressmen and push for a compromise. Republican Speaker of the House John Boehner got in some licks as well, saying the president is asking for too much.
And the sad truth is that the president wanted a blank check 6 months ago, and he wants a blank check today. This is just not going to happen.
From Washington, David Gura has more.
The president went over the worst-case scenario. What would happen if the federal government defaults?
We would risk sparking a deep economic crisis. This one caused almost entirely by Washington.
There are two plans on the table now. Majority Leader Harry Reid's doesn't touch Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, or taxes. House Speaker John Boehner's plan would raise the debt limit in two stages, now and again in the spring, if Congress can agree to deeper spending cuts. Last night, the president says he opposes that plan.
We know what we have to do to reduce our deficits. There's no point in putting the economy at risk by kicking the can further down the road.
But there's no guarantee either plan has enough votes to pass, and August 2nd is just a week away. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
So that's what we all heard last night, but what did the markets hear? Here to translate Wall Street to English for us is our New York bureau chief, Heidi Moore.
It's sort of like the movie Groundhog Day. You know, the one where the guy relives the same day over and over until he learns his lesson? That might well have been about the debt ceiling debate. Except we're not learning anything.
Rita, if you only had one day to live, what would you do with it?
I don't know, Phil. What are you dying of?
No. I mean, the whole world is about to explode. What do you do?
I just want to know where to put the camera.
Last night, in front of the primetime TV cameras, both President Obama and House Speaker Boehner talked about the impasse. And here's what Wall Street heard. We still don't have a deal.
We have a very unique position in the world, but we're quickly eroding that position, too.
That's Chris Whalen. He wrote a book called Inflated, How Money and Debt Built the American Dream. The debt part is important. President Obama warned about interest rates, a subject dear to Wall Street's heart. If the United States can't pay its bills, it would cause interest rates to go up for the government and for everyone else.
We'll be paying so much money out in interest that the rest of the budget is going to get crushed.
And if that happens, expect even more tortured budget negotiations. In New York, I'm Heidi Moore for Marketplace.
The markets are mixed this Tuesday. China's Shanghai Composite Index ticked up 0.5%. European markets are mostly down. London's FTSE is off 0.3%. Currency investors are in a Zurich state of mind. With the dollar losing some of its shine, investors are pouring money into the Swiss franc. It's up 30% this year against the greenback. U.S. markets fell yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average shed 0.7% to close at 12,592.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
The state of Arizona has decided it can no longer afford to pay for Medicaid for all its citizens. It plans to save $500 million by cutting the number of people getting health care through Medicaid. Paul Atkinson has more.
Arizona sent out 250,000 notices this month explaining the change to its Medicaid program. The state is not cutting coverage, it's freezing enrollment for a population most states don't cover, childless adults. So if recipients become ineligible because their earnings exceed the income threshold, they can't renew their policy. The state's Medicaid director, Tom Betlock, says he expects 100,000 childless adults will lose coverage in the first year.
We obviously regret that we have to make these decisions as well, but they are decisions that have to be made because of the economic circumstances we're going through here in the state of Arizona.
Arizona voters approved expanding Medicaid eligibility in 2000. Money from the state's tobacco settlement initially covered the additional cost. But now, with one in five Arizonans receiving Medicaid, the state is having to chip in. This year, fully 12% of its budget. At the same time, the state is trying to recover from an historic drop in revenue triggered by the financial crisis.
So with the general fund losing about a third of its revenue stream and the fact that the program grew by 300,000 members during the first couple years of the recession, those types of fiscal pressures really became unmanageable and unsustainable for the state.
But critics of Arizona's Medicaid cutbacks think policymakers overreacted. Because of the cuts, the state will lose $1 billion in federal matching funds. And there will be indirect costs, says Eddie Sissons of the Arizona Foundation for Behavioral Health.
So, you know, whenever I come in with my kid who's broken her arm, or I come in with, you know, a really allergic reaction for a bee sting, which I'm allergic to, I'm going to just wait longer because the emergency rooms are going to be crowded.
Sissons and others warn all Arizonans will pay higher health care costs as hospitals raise everyone else's rates to cover former Medicaid patients. In Phoenix, I'm Paul Atkinson for Marketplace.
Paul will be back tomorrow to tell us about a couple who's just about to lose their Medicaid coverage. And finally, a little Schadenfreude to go with your morning coffee. You're no doubt familiar with the fees and charges that show up on cell phone bills. Now, the city of Los Angeles is suing AT&T for failing to pay some fees of its own. LA says Ma Bell owes nearly $5 million for something called a communications user tax, plus penalties and interest. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. And this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Just getting a paycheck in the land of 9.2% unemployment is a blessing, right?
The lowest number of deaths is a day before the first, and then there's a large spike in mortality on the first of the month.
Or maybe not. I'm Kai Ryssdal, the curse of the paycheck, the numbers from Wall Street, and the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.